Hey, Niles, welcome to Is It Past Your Bedtime? I'm Krista.
And I'm Rachel.
And March is the best month because it's birthday month.
It is.
I
I love
think we
that we
say
both have
this.
March birthdays.
Yeah, we
Like,
say
I
this
love
every
it.
year. So,
I mean, it's always true, so.
yeah, birth month, best month. Like, there's birthday, birth week, birth month. Like, you can do anything you want. It's amazing.
My family is like big on March birthdays too. Like, literally, I was counting it earlier. There's like six or seven of us that have March birthdays in my family. Like, it's
Oh wow.
wild.
Yeah, it's just me and my sister. She's the first, I'm the 23rd, so it kind of split. But really,
Oh, that's good.
once I get past hers, I can just be like, nope, it's my turn now. Like, two fly. She didn't appreciate it, but that's okay. That's
We were
fine.
opposite. Like, mine's the third, and my brother's is the 28th, and it was always like the month of Rachel and Spencer gets the last 3 days.
Oh, so
Sorry,
sad. Yeah.
Spence.
Yeah, it's probably just because like I'm an Aries and she's a Pisces, so I just took over, you know?
Maybe.
Yeah, I just controlled it. Anyways, the theme, I guess, for this one is just
Birthday.
birthday-ish related, whatever that means. It's very broad. I debated like picking a book that I wanted and being like to me, from me. Oh my God, I love it so much. And then I couldn't pick one. And I went round and round and round for well too long. Like it got to the point where you texted about recording and I went, I haven't actually
Like,
picked a book.
whoops.
So I
Oh,
did end up
no.
randomly finding one on like social media. Somebody like posted about it and I was like, oh, I'll just go add it to like my TBR, whatever.
There you go.
And then turns out it's literally like has to do with their birthdays or like kind of a thing. So this one is, it actually is very much in line with like what we had done in February. It's romanticy. It's like our main guy's not even morally gray. Like he's like morally black. Like it's
Oh,
fine.
no.
It's whatever. So the book is Viciously Yours by Jamie Applegate Hunter. It like just came out at the end of January too, so it's actually like kind of new. The spiel on this one that like she gives in the very beginning is like, if you are expecting like great literature, don't read this book. Like it goes on about like it's about fae and it's set in a fantasy and like yeah, there's rebels, but there's not like any big backstory on it. I think literally I wrote down the quote is this is intended to be a fun, quick read with a bit of that's fucked up mixed in. And she nailed
I'm
it.
not mad about it.
Yeah, it's like almost like you know when you read like a cozy murder mystery and it's just straight fluff and like it's fine. That's what this is, but like romanticy with like, and it does have on-scene sex, so like don't take me saying that it's like a cozy romanticy and thinking that you're gonna get like closed door sex scenes, because you're definitely not. But it was just fun. It was like 250 pages. It took like,
It's
I could have,
perfect.
you could read it in like a sitting, basically. Work, I had to split it into two. Rude. But like, it was just silly and fun and not very heavy at all. So, our main characters are Rennick and
What's the
Amelia.
title? Did I miss it?
Oh, Viciously Yours. I thought I said it, but I'll say it again.
You may
Viciously.
have said it, but I was like listening to the plot at the same time.
That's totally, I'll say it again. That's fine. Viciously Yours by Jamie Applegate Hunter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I also like in the beginning of this one, it like she claims it to be a novella. It's 250 pages. Like a novella to me is 100 pages.
Yeah, it's like under 130 tops,
Yeah,
maybe.
exactly. So in the very beginning of this one, she just straight out is like, here's the world. Like there's none of that like weird, awkward stuff where it's like two characters having a conversation about things that they should probably already know because they like live in this world, you know what I mean? So it's
Right.
like, so there's humans who have no magic. There are non-royal fae who have like sort of basic manage, like they can glamour humans and animals. They have like a little bit of magic. They come into their full magic at 13. And then there's royal fae who have like way stronger magic. They're super fast. I guess the non-royals are faster and stronger than humans, so it just kind of like cranks up, right? So you have the royal ones who, they're stronger, they're faster than all of them. They could glamour like an entire kingdom. They just can't glamour other royals or other, yeah, other high royals or whatever. And it takes 25 years for them to come into their magic and like to fully come into their magic.
That's like a
They,
blink of an eye, though, for Faye. Like, they live a really long
none
time.
of these people are immortal. Like the humans aren't, neither the low or the full. Like none of them are immortal.
They aren't usually immortal, but they do usually live a long time. So, does that
Yeah.
still apply here?
It doesn't specifically say, but I don't think so. Like, I don't think we're getting
Oh,
like
okay.
500 years. Like, kind of just based on
Got it.
how the rest of it kind of plays out, I think that they're getting like, I mean, maybe like a 100-ish, like a good healthy 100, but nothing
Got
crazy
it.
like a lot of the other
Okay.
books you get.
So,
Yeah.
25 years is like an actual regular adult
Yeah, like they're
Age,
like,
got it.
yeah, they're
Okay.
like they're coming into their adulthood basically.
Okay.
At 15, they get a familiar and they get like a tattoo on their chest with what the animal is. And then like a
Oh, I
couple
want
days
one.
later, their like familiar shows up. And then the royals at 13, oh no, maybe it's not. Is it the royals or is it just basically either way? Can't remember the exact parts of it. So Rennick is he's a royal fae. And his father's the king, so he's going to become king. And I think it's just the royal line, but at 13, the gods whisper the name of their mate to them. And so,
Oh,
and
at
typically,
13, that's a lot of pressure.
yeah, and so, but they don't marry until like they typically marry at like 25, like when they come into their magic. So the royal fae can't leave their kingdom. So there's like the human world is in the middle, the human realm, whatever. And then there's four kingdoms surrounding it, which is like desert, mountain, tropical. I can't remember the other one. Whatever. There's four. We're set in the mountain one.
Okay.
That's where the book one is here. And so they can't leave their kingdom until after they turn 25 because it'll like super weaken their magic and everything like that. And there's like a magical border that like the gods came back down and like put it up. And then all five kingdoms, like the human one included, agreed to like actually put up a real wall. And there's like one door between like the humans and each little one. And this was like
Interesting.
thousands of years ago that this happened. So yeah, so Rennick, and so also once the him gonna be king after his dad, once he turns 25 and comes into his magic, he'll take over from his dad and his dad will retire. So like that's why I also don't think that they live super long lives.
Yeah, that makes sense then.
Yeah. So Rennick gets whispered the name Amelia when he's 13. And of course, you know, being 13, he's like, well, like, what if I don't like her? Because, like, the mate bond doesn't claim that they're going to love. They're just going to be
Just so
mated.
they'll be. Oh,
Yeah. And it'll,
interesting.
like, strengthen their magic and everything like that. But the bond can be broken if either mate marries and, like, does, like, the marriage ritual before the two of them do. So it is possible that, like, if he doesn't go out and find her, that, like, she could fall in love with some other dude. Typically, like when this happens, they like go, they find the mate, and they bring like her and her family over to like the other kingdom if they're not in the same kingdom. Mainly for like her protection, because if you kill off like if you can kill off the mate, then basically you're killing off the royal line,
That makes
rebels.
sense.
And there are rebels that, and it's really just basic general unrest, kind of like how it's explained is that like there's always going to be somebody who think they could do it better. Like,
Isn't there always, though, that's like the case with every royal family ever, fey or not?
Yeah, and that's all this is. I think like at one point, like the dad is like, because he asks, and the dad's just like, you're always going to be like somebody's, like, always going to be the villain in somebody's story. It's your job to make sure
Yeah.
that it's unjust or whatever. Like, you're like, okay, cool. So they search, like, he can't leave, obviously, the kingdom to go, like, search. So, like, the dad and the mom go out, they search, and they finally find her in the human realm. And they're like, and they like go to the human queen or whatever. And she's like, yeah, no, like for her safety, I want her to stay here until your son ascends. Like once he becomes king, he can come and get her when he turns 25. Because also, mates share the exact same birthday. Kind of weird.
Oh, I guess I assume the mate would be a fairy.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Like they have never heard of a human fae mate before. But like that's not to say it can't happen. They just haven't heard of it happening. So like,
Interesting.
yeah, kind of interesting there. So he can't leave, but he convinces his best friend Finn, who is not a high royal, or yeah, not a royal fae, to go into the human world and deliver these letters. But he can't, like, he doesn't say, like, who he is or, like, that he's a royal, like, that could bring danger to her and danger to Riddick, Rennick. And so, but, like, because Finn came into his magic at 13, so he's allowed to leave. So he agrees. He also has to take the letters back. He uses like glamour. So he goes and he shows up on the 13th birthday and like drops out the little letter that's like, hi, I'm your mate. And it's like super cute. Like, so the entire like first chunk of the book is like a lot of like the let it's mostly the letters that he's sending over the years. He always sends one on her birthday.
Does she write back?
She can't. Like, she's like tried and the letters don't go anywhere. Like, she doesn't understand the magic. She doesn't realize that like Finn is actually in there, like making sure she reads the letter and taking it back. Like, so she thinks that like Rennick, who calls himself Nick in the letters, is like magically doing it or somehow. Like, she's not quite sure what it is. She lives in an orphanage, so like she has no family, she really has no friends, all these things. Yeah,
Oh.
this poor girl. And so like she can't tell anybody about this. One, they're either gonna think they're crazy, she's crazy, or they're gonna think she's right, and then that's gonna bring like a bunch of like danger
Yeah.
into her life. So this is like happening, and like in all the early letters, it's like super freaking cute. He like is like trying all these like different little pet names and like crossing them out. So it's like, hey, sweetheart, nope. Hey, whatever, like, and like crossing them out as it's going. It's adorable. He finally settles on like, hey, love or whatever. A couple times, when Finn has been there, like she's kind of been able to like see through the glamour, like something glitches. So she thinks she kind of knows what this Nick guy looks like, but it's Finn, right? It's not her.
Oh, right.
Mates can also feel each other's emotions, but because she's human, she can't feel his, but he can feel hers. So like she at one point ends up like having sex with a dude and he can like feel it. And he totally goes and like kills this guy. He's like, nope, nobody touches my mate. Not gonna happen. Like that's what I mean by like morally
Whoa.
black. Like this man is like, I will literally kill anybody who upsets you and I don't care. Like real life, that's not good. In a book though.
Yikes.
Right? I don't know.
Interesting, though, in a book.
Yeah. So that's what I mean by like, that's what the author is saying when it's like literally like, this is a morally black. Like, this is not, there's no gray to be found
No,
with her.
sure isn't.
And so, like, he starts bringing her like gifts. So Rennet gets his familiar, and with that, is able, like, the familiar can go into the human world. So, like, through his familiar eyes, he can like see her. He starts sending her gifts. With the help of his other friend, Aura, who is a woman and is in love with him. And so, of course, she's like picking out terrible gifts that nobody would ever want, like on purpose.
Right.
Like she's being a turd. And so, like, all these things are going. Finally, 24th birthday. And like, he comes into like Interim King at like 22-ish or something like that. His letters start to drop off. He doesn't say anything about it to her. This whole time, she's like goes back and forth on like, is this even real or is this like a mean prank that somebody is playing on me?
Yeah.
Especially because like the letters disappear. So like the only thing that she has tangible to like not think that she's losing her absolute mind are these gifts. These horrible, horrible gifts, but still there. And so she's like slowly falling in love with this guy through these letters, which she's never actually seen. Only like
Wild.
glimmers of Finn, but she doesn't know it's Finn. And he's like watching her all the time. And like there's one when he finally is like 15 or whatever and like sees her through the familiar and is like calls her beautiful. And that's like the one she's like sitting there. And she's like, why can't I keep this letter? And like says it out loud. And Finn lets her keep it. It was super cute.
Oh, that's
Yeah.
nice.
So he shows up on their 25th birthday. Like there's no letter. Like she wakes up in the morning, there's no letter. It's always when she wakes up. Like Finn comes in the middle of the night and to drop it off. There's no letter. She's like, okay, that's weird. She doesn't making like one friend at the orphanage, this like woman, Clover, this other gal, they're like the same age. Can't find her that morning. She also has this tiny little like 4-pound fox that follows her around named Eddie.
Oh.
Eddie's gone. She's like, this is like the worst birthday ever. Awesome.
Yeah.
And she had got to the point where she was like, if because he was like the letters were so like infrequently that she was like, if I don't hear from him in like the next year. Like, I'm just gonna have to move on with my life. And like, this isn't gonna be real. He shows up and she like walks out. And then Rennick and Finn are like across the street. And he's all like, hey, love. She looks and she's like, she sees Finn, who she thinks is Nick. Finn almost dies because, of course, like Rennick is like overly possessive and gonna kill any man.
Holy cow. That's not
It's not the best. No.
Finn's fault either.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, she explains it. And like the and Finn is like, I don't know that she could like see me, dude. Like that I didn't do anything. Like please don't like take my head from my body. Like
Holy
chill. Like
cow.
we've been best friends our whole lives. Whatever. And so she does end up going back to the Mountain Kingdom with him. And then like the next rest of the book, like the next half of the book takes place in like 6 days. Like we just are
Oh my
like
gosh.
flying through everything. We're like. You know, like they have to like complete the mating bond, or not the mating bond, the like marriage bond for their mate to seal, whatever, to like both get stronger. Things are kind of like going on weird with her, like because they're like, oh, like will she ever get powers? And, like, well, maybe when like they marry, like when they do that, she may or may not. But they don't know because like this has never really happened before. You know what I mean?
Right.
And good lordy, the twist that came towards the end, I don't know
Didn't see it
where I.
coming.
Didn't know where I thought this book was gonna go at all because it's just some like random little tiny sort of cozy romanticy with murder. But sure, definitely didn't think that was gonna go there. I loved it though. Like I read it in like no time. It started off a little slow because like they start and the letters and they're 13 years old, right? So we get the letters, and we get like from his point of view and her point of view, and it literally reads like yah middle grade. And the whole
I believe
time
it.
I was like, if this entire book is going to be written in this like yah middle grade kind of like writing style, it's like I'm gonna lose it. But as like they age, the writing ages, so it actually was really well done to like get you to be like, oh yeah, you are a 13-year-old, like that's cool, that's great. But no, I absolutely ate it up. I freaking loved it. Like, it did exactly what it said it was going to do. It was a fun, quick read, fluff with a lot of murder and like very possessive characters and like not people we should like model our lives after at all. But it was just such a fun, goofy little read. Like, my biggest complaint is the epilogue, because like, so like towards the very end of the book, so like this is like book one, it says, and it just came out, but I'm assuming there's going to be one for each of the four kings, because they're all like right around the age of 25, so they're all going to be coming into like finding their mate and like doing all this other stuff, right? And then like right at the end, they like introduce us to a bunch of the other ones, like some of the other ones that are older than 25 and can travel, and just like tells us what happens to them. And I'm like, well, but I would like to read their story to learn this information. And then the epilogue jumps 7 years, and it just
Oh, wow.
fills in the rest. And I was like, you could have saved so much of this, but like, I don't know if it was supposed to be like teasers, but it was like too much. Like that was like my biggest complaint, which really isn't bad to only have like the epilogue be the biggest complaint.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, like I said, it was cute, it was quick. A lot of like the biggest complaints that I've seen on like other reviews are people just saying that like, I think that they didn't take to heart when she was like, this is not going to be like any, like this isn't going to be a great read. This isn't going to be the best thing you've ever read. This is just going to be like for the hee-hees and the ha-has. And that's what I did. I giggled at times. Like I literally was like laughing out loud at some of their like banter because it's just so like ridiculous. And I wish I had like wrote some of it down, but it probably wouldn't have made any sense out of context anyways. But yeah, 5 stars for what it was. Like, I'm not saying it's the greatest thing I've ever read. It was a good time. That's all I wanted. It had to do with all their birthdays, so it fit the theme. This one. And I'll totally read the
Good.
next one when it comes out. I don't know that I'll read any for other stuff. But you know, when the next one comes out, if it's again just for the
It's a short,
funsies, yeah,
like
it's
quick read, then why not?
yeah, like knock it out in a day. Honestly, you could knock it out in like half a day. Granted, I'm a fastish reader, but like, yeah, it was fun. It wasn't serious. It was like the perfect start to birth month. Like, oh, here's fun, goofy nonsense.
Nice. Well, I picked very differently. The show called The Midwife on Netflix, I'm obsessed with, and I've watched like 8 million times.
Think I've even
So
seen it once.
that's okay.
Is that
It's
the
one BBC.
Call the Midwife? Is that the one?
Call The
Or
Midwife, yeah.
okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I love British television. So, like, it's got that going for it. And then, like, there are babies. So I love that. I don't think we've told our group at large, like I think it's come up in conversation randomly, but we haven't talked about it. So we're going on a break because I'm going to be on maternity leave from work. So I'm also going to take maternity leave from our
Yeah, she's
podcast.
growing a whole baby and
Hiatus.
birthing it.
Yeah, who will also have a March birthday. So birth month is a whole new thing. And my family will have 8 March birthdays. Great. Can't
Even
wait.
more. Hopefully it's like a nicely spread out, you know, and it's not super stacked.
I really hope so, honestly. I don't want to share my birthday. That sounds terrible.
No, that's the one where I'm gonna be like, cross your legs, hide under a desk, tell nobody.
Yeah.
Maybe don't do that. I don't know how babies work, but
I don't think you're supposed to do that. No.
no.
I think they make their decisions on when they come. But yeah, so that's part of why we're doing this. So this is going to be our only episode this month. So the book that I did though was the Call the Midwife memoir. I watched the show a bunch of times and it always says like based on the book by Jennifer Worth, and I never read it. But I was kind of curious. So it was actually originally released as just called Midwife, I believe. But they changed it and it's like her memoirs of like being a midwife in East End London in the 1950s.
Realize it was going to be
So
a memoir. When you said you were going to do it, I was like, oh, it's got to be a fictional book, but that the
no.
fictional show is.
Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense. Like, it's based on just like her memories of doing this. So it was kind of cool doing the book after having watched the show so many times because like the book does different like people for different chapters and they're all characters I'm familiar with or like births that she attended or was part of. And like I've seen it on the show. So I'm like, oh, it's like interesting to get more information, like some of the background details. I'm pretty sure she like I know she changes the name of like the she works for like a church sort of. So basically what the gist of it is that Jenny Lee, Jennifer Worth, I think it her middle name must be Lee because they call her Jenny Lee in the book too. So I don't know. But
Probably.
that's her name in the show too. So she moves to London, East End, Poplar, which is like there's a bunch of dock workers, like there's tenements, which is like buildings that have like family homes, but they all share like a one toilet, like a whole building.
Oh,
So it's
okay.
like it's kind of the slums.
Yeah.
It's the 1950s, so like London is still fairly recovering from World War One, I believe. Like a lot of the people there were really impacted by that. And then like the docks are kind of in and out as far as work goes. So like it's a pretty poor area. Like sometimes there's a lot of work and sometimes there's not a lot of work. And so like everyone there has a lot of babies. So it's kind of in the 1950s still like taboo for women to be nurses, and it's like fairly new for like midwives to exist. So like doctors used to deliver all babies and they would charge like twice as much essentially as midwives did.
Yeah.
And then like their rates for survival weren't very good, like really bad. Like it was, I think it was like 40% of women died during birth, and
Oh,
then like up to
jeez.
60% of babies died. Like it was really high. I was shocked when she gave some of the statistics of like what used to happen versus like when midwives took over. So like I guess in like the early 1900s they passed some bill that allowed midwives to do it because before that it was just like random women that had baby experience that would just go deliver babies
Yeah, they're like,
and
oh,
like they're
I've
not
had a couple
clean.
of my own babies. I can help,
Yeah,
but
but like there's no regulation, like it's not clean, like they're not going to call a doctor because a doctor's going to charge them an arm and a leg and nobody has the money for that. And like the hygiene in the area, considering how many families, like it would be totally normal to have a two bedroom like apartment that shared one toilet with 10 other families. And in your two bedroom apartment, you had 10 people. Like you're on top of each other. I can't even imagine.
No, it
Like
sounds horrible.
it sounds
Like
awful.
that's no breathing room at all. Definitely no like space to like have a baby in any kind of privacy either. Like,
No,
howdy
everyone
kids,
shows up.
let's come look. Like
Like I
here,
like.
come for the show.
I like the way that they like she like describes that like families are really close knit at the time because like you literally never go anywhere. Like people don't leave. Like you live next door to your mom and your grandmother. So like there's a lot of like that multi-generational like family stuff going on in the area. So like I think that part of it gets romanticized a lot in like the show, but like the reality of it is like you do see like the infestations and disease and like all sorts of stuff, which they do talk about in the show too, but in the book, I feel like it was a little bit more like palpable almost. Like, because you could see like what she was thinking about it in the book, where like in the show, you can just like see her face, where like you can tell, like, oh, this apartment probably smells bad. But like in the book, it's like, oh, it was bad.
Yeah, like a lot of descriptive words.
Yeah. And so it's like kind of taboo still for women to become midwives and nurses. But that's what Jenny decides that she wants to do with her life. So she moves from like the west side of London, which is like a little nicer, I guess, to the east side Poplar. And so she goes to work for St. Raymond Nonatus House. That name is made up. I know that. St. Raymond Nonatus, I believe, was like the patron saint of like obstetrics and midwifery or something. So like that's why she picked that name. But it's like nuns and nurses that all live there.
Oh,
So
okay.
like you can, I didn't really think about the fact that you could be a nun and also have a profession. Like that's something
Yeah.
that like never really occurred
Yeah,
to
I thought like
me.
the nunnery is your profession, but I
Right.
guess
And
it
for
doesn't
some of
have to
them it
be.
is.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but I can see, yeah, it doesn't have to be, I suppose.
Yeah. So like that I think is really interesting to me because like I've never really seen that like kind of dynamic when it comes to like nuns. Like I'm not like a church person. Like I don't really know that much about like how churches function or whatever, but basically they saw that there was a need in this area for midwifery. And so the nuns that were trained to be midwives and nurses moved here. They don't just do midwifery. They also do like general practicing. So like they'll go and like attend to old people. Like they do lots of other kinds of stuff. There is like a doctor that they can call if they need him. A lot of the dynamics in the book are a little bit different than they are like in the show, because obviously they want the show to like have more like story development. Like in the book, in reality, the doctor was married with children, but like in the show, the doctor marries one of the nuns who decides to like leave the religious life to marry the doctor, right? So it's like obviously some stuff was changed to like make the show more interesting.
Yeah, add some drama.
Yeah. But the book, like, I just love all the different characters, really, because like I knew that, like how do I even describe? Because it's not like super linear, so like you get to see a lot more about like her background and things. Like she, Jenny, moves there. It's like mostly about her, but she talks about like all the other people she encounters, right? She like moves there after like a love affair when she's like 16. She like falls in love with this older man, but like they don't do anything because it's like a big deal to like have sex outside of marriage in the 1950s, and like she didn't want to become like, you know, a girl who's unmarried like with child, because that's like super taboo.
Yeah, that would be not great back then.
No, but she does fall in love with like an older man and like has a relationship with him. So she like basically decides to make this big change in her life because like she's heartbroken and like wants to move on and do something different. So like it's kind of interesting to like see a little bit more of that, because they do cover it in the show, but like you don't really get to know a lot about the details. Like she's still pretty vague about it. She's probably trying to protect his identity or something. Like in the show, he's married, so I'm like, was he married? But it definitely sounds like in the book, like he was maybe one of her teachers.
Yeah,
Ooh,
she's not trying to like
it's
sully the
not
name of the
good.
man she loved.
Yeah, exactly. But like in the book, like it's interesting to see her like have to kind of adapt to like this whole new world, because like Poplar is so different. And then she talks about like the way that things evolve even like while she's there, because I think she works there for like 4 or 5 years or so, because like she's brand new at this point, and so she's only ever worked in hospitals, which are like very clean, like they've got a lot of really strict regulations. But like that's not really how it goes when you live at a nunnery that also serves a community. Like it's much more of a casual situation, where like if she ran into like a pregnant lady and she didn't have support, she could use the nuns as like a resource to help her find somewhere to go. But like it's just kind of staggering to see like some of the ways that they treat like the unmarried mothers. Like there's lots of different stories, but like one of them in particular, like this young girl moved from Ireland because her mom's like new husband sexually assaulted her. So she leaves and then like gets taken in because she's like 14 or 15. Everyone's like super young when they get pulled into like weird stuff. She's like 14 or 15, and then some guy like is nice to her, and so she becomes like a prostitute and gets pregnant.
Oh,
But she's
jeez.
an unmarried mother in London in the 1950s with nowhere to go. So they put her in like this like mother baby house that's supposed to help protect them. But then they take her baby because they're like, well, she's only 14, 15. We'll put it up for adoption, so it's in a good Catholic home where it doesn't know like it's a bastard or whatever, and its mom's a prostitute. But then like how that impacts her mental health over the years is like she steals babies.
Oh, jeez.
Like, yeah, and I'm like, it's unclear when they talk about like how she got caught like taking a 6-week-old baby like years later, if it was like hers, that she had another kid and it happened again. Like I don't know, but like it's really sad and interesting to see all these different stories. Like there's this one like family that they were on their 24th baby.
Oh, jeez.
24. This lady like was from Spain or something, and her husband was older than her and brought her back at like 11 or 12 when he, like, during the war, he wanted to go do something different. So he just like left and went to Spain, I guess. But he brings her back and she doesn't speak any English. And like they're super happy together, but neither of them speak the same language. They just keep having a bunch of babies. But like she's a super happy lady. And it's just like all of these like really weird dynamics that like go on. And it's like, it's just life basically. Like, so that's what I really liked about it, is like that she encounters so many different people, and like you hear so much about like what London was like back then, and then like what's made the change. Like when birth control happened, the fact that they used to deliver like 80 to 100 babies a month, it went down to like 10,
Yeah, that makes
because
sense.
like women had the ability to control whether or not they were going to have a bunch of children or not. Like Because like men wouldn't wear condoms.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
No, especially in the 1950s, it was like a fairly new thing. They were like, why would I do that? Like, you're my wife or whatever. Like, they just wouldn't do it. So, like, I don't know. I know that this kind of book is not for everybody, but for me, I thought it was really interesting. I didn't love some of the intense detail about like how they would deliver some babies. Like, she would go into like really deep detail on like how she would deliver a breech baby or how some of the births went down, like some of the more complicated ones, which is interesting. But I also was like a little freaked out, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, like maybe now wasn't the right
I
time
was like, I
to
didn't
freeze
need to hear that. So
someone.
like if you don't want to read any intense how do midwives deliver babies, like again, it's very interesting, but maybe not when you're like 2 weeks out from giving birth. Maybe
Yeah,
don't.
maybe not that one. But hey, at least
Yeah, a
like
little too close.
you'd be in a hospital, right? So, and it's not the
It'll be
50s.
different.
Yeah,
Exactly.
so.
And that's also the other thing too, is like one of the reasons I like the show is I was like, they did it then with no help, no medical assistance really. Like they were midwives, so like they're trained, but it's not the same as like having like a full medical staff. Like you would have one midwife show up at your house and then be
Yeah.
like, hey, you're cool.
Yeah, bye. Good job.
Yeah, but like I don't know. I also kind of envy that they could like give birth at home and like be surrounded by their family and like you get to kind of decide a lot more about how your care goes and you have a lot of like postpartum support, which is like something that our society currently lacks.
Yeah, that's
Like
true.
yeah, like it was encouraged and they wouldn't let the moms like leave bed for like 2 weeks basically.
Good.
Like
Yeah,
they're
like
like
no.
everybody else does your shit for you.
Yeah.
Like
You just birth a
so
person.
it was really interesting. I'm glad I read it because like I got to know a lot more about like the nuns. Like the nuns are really funny. Like one of the nuns is like senile, but they're not sure if some of her weirdness is like her actually being senile or if she's just mischievous and can get away with it because she's been a nun and midwife in the area for like 50 years. Like
Yeah, so
she's
she's
very old. She's like in her 90s. So like she'll talk about like the stars and astrology and poetry, and she also steals all the cake. Like I love her. She's probably my favorite character in the show too. Like if I ever kill off Sister Monica Joan, I will cry.
Yeah, you're like, you can fake that one to the end. Like, I don't care if she dies in the book. Like, you can make her live the whole
And
time
I
in the
was
show.
wondering how much they like played it up in the show too, because like in the show it's like very comical like the way she is, but it's like nope, it sounds like that's exactly what this nun was like.
That's awesome.
So I don't know, I really enjoyed getting to know these characters that like I've already gotten really invested in because of the show. So that's something that you're into if you really enjoyed that show. I know a lot of people do, but I also understand why a lot of people don't. It's a niche interest, but
Yeah.
they had me at midwifery and BBC.
And it's good. Also, like, it works out sometimes, like, watching a show and then reading the book, especially for ones like that, where it's like there's going to be so much detail and stuff that it's easier to track.
Yeah, I think if I had read the book first, like, because it's just a memoir, I don't think I would have been nearly as invested in it. But it was the fact that I was like, oh, I remember this story. Like, I wonder what actually happened. Like, I wonder how that went down. I got a lot more details about, like, not just like the main characters of the show, like the nuns and stuff and the other midwives, but also like the families. And like some of the stories were like, she would have multiple chapters covering one lady. Because there was just so much to tell about her backstory and things, but it's one episode, right? Where you only get a
Yeah.
small slice of it. And I'm like, oh, that makes so much more sense. Like, or I could see like how her story got her to where she was. So because it's someone's memoir, I got to give it a 5 out of 5. I mean, your memories are your memories. They are what they are. like honestly, it just is what it is. It was life.
I mean, BBC also liked it. They probably gave it 5 stars too, so.
They probably did. And it was well written. It really was. Like, even though they were like, they did get into the details as far as like some of the births go. And I was like, oh God. Like, it wasn't like gross. It
I
wasn't
bet.
gross. It was just like, oh man, I didn't realize that that's how that technically worked. Like, it was
Yeah.
the medical in and out that I
Yeah,
was
and I bet
like,
she
oh
was like really
God.
like respectful of it and like of the
Yeah.
patients and everything like that too. Like she's not going to be like, yeah, not just going to give out the gore and the gross without
Yeah.
explaining. So.
Yeah, but it's interesting. So
Okay.
yeah, that's where I went with this.
Yeah. I don't know if that convinced me to watch the show,
You
but
know,
maybe.
I don't think it's for you, honestly. Like I said,
Yeah.
it's not for everybody. Most of the people that I know that have watched the show are moms.
Yeah, that's fair. Also, I'm not the biggest British show. Like, I have to be in the right mood and has to be the right kind of show to kind of like even it out. So we're
I
running
have
out
a
of.
BritBox subscription. I watch all the British shows.
There you go. Yeah, I was like, we're running out of a topic that I'm not super psyched about, and now it's British. Like,
And it's British. It's
yeah.
okay. It's not for everybody.
No, it doesn't have to be. That's fine. I'm glad that the book was good though. Because yeah, when you told me that you were gonna do it, I honestly thought that this whole thing was like a fictional one. So yeah, very di very, very different than what I did, but that's fine. Yeah, so like we said, we're gonna take a little hiatus, unknown on the length of it, but we will be sure to post on Instagram when we're coming back. Isn't it past your bedtime? Yep. Yeah. Sorry, I totally
That's
blanked on
it.
the name of it. I was like, that's it.
It's
That's the one.
on Insta.
Yeah. Also, we'll pop on every now and then and just give updates on what we're reading. Pop things in the stories just
Absolutely.
so that way you don't forget about us. If you're curious what we got, birthday book hauls, all those other fun things. And yeah, we'll talk to you when we talk to you. Bye, everyone.
Bye.